Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. Faithful valet Cato, Rich Ree, a daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Rich Ree in the thrilling adventure, The Hornet Does It. The Green Hornet strikes again. Jack Kenley stood watching as the guard at the state prison unlocked the last iron gate that meant the outside and freedom once more.
Okay, Kenley. That is.
Thanks.
Take a good rest and then get yourself a decent job. You'll soon forget the 3 years you put in up here. So long.
So long.
Hey, Jack.
What?
Here. We come to meet you, Jack. This is a friend of mine, Sox Harris.
Glad to know you, Kenley.
Yeah, same here.
Come on, get in.
Well, I... Okay.
Get going, Sox. You don't say much, Jack. Aren't you glad we met you?
Sure. Sure. But I was thinking.
What?
Why did you meet me, Steve?
Listen to him, Sox. Thinks because he's done a little time in stir, his friends have given him up. Is that it, Jack?
Look, Steve. You came to meet me out of the kindness of your heart. Let it go at that. But... Well, I know you better than that.
I guess you don't appreciate us coming all the way up here for him, huh, Steve?
Jack's the suspicious kind, that's all, Sox.
Oh, so that's it. Guess being in stir makes a guy like that, huh?
Listen, you, keep your mouth shut.
Oh, no, no, take it easy, Jack. Sox didn't mean anything by what he said. Can't you take a little kidding?
Yeah, I was just kidding, Jack.
Well, I'm not in the mood for kidding, see? I didn't ask you guys to come here to meet me anyway.
Look, Jack, you've had a tough time. You'll need help getting back on your feet. And I've got something lined up that'll give you all you need for a while.
Are you crazy? Don't you realize I've just left the pen after a 3-year stretch? I'm not in line for any job, unless it's on the level.
Aren't you forgetting something, Jack?
Like what, for instance?
I've got evidence against you that could send you back to the pen. Remember?
Why, you...
Look out, you want to wreck us, you fool?
Hey, we almost went off the road that time.
And cut out the cracks and the threats you hear.
Why, Jack, you don't sound like an old friend of mine at all when you talk that way. Here we go and line up something that'll put us in the dough. We count you in, come to meet you. Then you talk like a stir-happy dope.
Well, that's the way I feel about
it. Listen, you, you're going to help us. And that's that.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you wait a minute. The old hijacking racket is here to pay off again. We know where we can grab off a load of sugar. And we know where to get rid of it. At a high price.
But, Steve,
when you hear the deal and the plans we have, you'll change your mind, Jack. Step on it, Sox.
Yeah.
I want to have a nice long talk with Jack when we get to my place. He'll soon be in the dough in spite of himself.
Motorboat made its way across the river, heading for a certain warehouse near the city docks.
Here comes a police boat. We better stop.
Okay, shut off the motor. We have the necessary papers, so we don't have to worry.
Hey, Ahoy there! We're coming aboard.
Come ahead, officer.
What kind of load are you carrying?
It's okay, officer. Got a load of sugar. Got the papers right here.
Let me see them. Carrying sugar. Say, these papers aren't in order. We'll have to take you in until you explain. Both of you board our boat. My man here will bring your boat in. Hey, Jack, stand by to take on two passengers.
Okay. Let him come aboard.
Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
That ain't no police boat. Look.
Huh? Well, I'll be... Hey, you guys aren't cops, and we ain't leaving this boat.
No, we're not. Right.
No! I'll get you for
you
that.
You butt of your gun, Sock.
Yeah, I got him. Should we toss him into the river, Steve?
No, we'll put him in the tender, and then set them adrift. Somebody will pick them up sooner or later. In the meantime, we have a swell load of sugar that'll bring a big price.
It was well after midnight when Gunnigan, city editor of the Daily Sentinel, received a phone call from Mike Axford, Sentinel reporter.
City room, Daily Sentinel.
Gunnigan, this is Axford. I'm calling from cops headquarters.
Oh, it's you. Where the same hill have you been all evening? I've needed somebody to get the dope on... Well, why don't you say so? That's the trouble with you, Mike. You talk all around the bush when you... What's the news you got?
If you'll stop gapping a minute, I'll give it to you. Now, listen. Two guys are bringing a boatload of sugar over from the warehouse across the river. They were stopped by some hijackers posing as cops. Imagine those groups having the nerve to
get on with the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, the hijackers tied the guys up and sent them adrift. They were picked up just a while ago.
Who, the crooks?
No, not the crooks. The guys the crooks tied up and sent adrift.
Then the hijackers got away with a load of sugar, huh?
What do you think they did? Sat out there in the middle of the river and made themselves some fudge? Of course they got away with the sugar.
Okay, okay. If the cops got...
No, they ain't. So long.
Oh, copy, boy. Copy, boy.
Hey,
yes, sir.
Drew, set a bridge.
Give me one.
Hey, yes, sir. Read all about it. Let the leg tree pit burn.
The following morning, Britt Reed, young publisher of the Daily Sentinel, was in the city room talking to Gunnigan and Axford.
Those crooks pulled a new angle on the old hijacking racket this time.
Sure. And believe me, Reed, Sarge is about to bust a button over thinking they posed as harbor cops.
Have the cops got any line on them, Axford?
Nope. The boat was found this morning in a cove up the river. They must have run in there to transfer the cargo.
I suppose the police will keep a close watch on the river from now on.
Sure. And more than that.
What do you mean, and more than that?
The cops are going to run a boat over each night with a couple of plainclothesmen on it to see if anyone tries to stop it.
Hoping to trick the crooks, huh?
That's the general idea, Gunnigan.
I should think the crooks would be on guard against something like that if they're smart.
Maybe so. But the cops have to try something. You never can tell. Them crooks might take another crack at it. And if they do, they'll be grabbed.
Well, let us know if the police run into anything, Axford. If they get away with it, others will start hijacking again. Things will just be like they used to be.
I'll stick with the cops, and if anything happens, I'll let you know. You can bet your life Sarge won't let up till he does get a line on them smart alecks who go around posing as cops. They'll be a plenty sorry when they do get caught. Mark my word.
That night, Jack Kenley was with Steve and Socks in Steve's hideout apartment.
Well, fellas, that job sure went off like clockwork. I disposed of that sugar to a friend who owns a roadhouse.
How about our cut, Steve?
You'll get your cut. After we pull another job.
Listen here, Steve. The cops are watching the river. We can't pull the same sort of job twice. Anyway, why can't we call it quits? Should have gotten enough dough for that sugar to make it worthwhile.
What we're getting for selling that sugar doesn't satisfy me, Jack. I have another job lined up. And it's not on the river.
Not on the river? What is it?
It's another sugar deal.
Another one?
Well, sure. Haven't you heard there's a shortage of sugar? It's one of the few items that are still rationed.
Yeah, but what will we do with this load of sugar if we got it?
I got that plan, too. Don't worry.
Where do we get the load of sugar, Steve?
On the pike, later tonight. I know just about when it's coming in, and we'll be waiting for it.
Well, them truck drivers are wise. It ain't easy to get them to stop.
He'll stop, all right. I've rigged the siren from the boat onto my car. We'll pull that cop gag again. Get it?
I don't want to have any part of it.
Jack, you're sure hard to convince, aren't you? But you'll come along with us. And like it.
Posing as cops like that. We'll have the whole force out hunting us. Sooner or later, they'll get on our trail.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. Once was bad enough, but they'll go nutty if we keep it up.
Pipe down, Sox. Don't let this guy give you a case of nerves. Naturally, the cops will do everything they can to find the ones who are posing as them.
Yeah, that's what we mean.
But I've got a plan that'll make them look for somebody else.
What do you mean by that?
Who'll they be looking for?
I got it all figured out. And when the time comes, you'll both see what I mean.
Why don't you tell us now?
Yeah, what's your big secret?
Well, really isn't any big secret. Guess I might as well let you in on it. Now listen, here's just how I'm going to work it after we stop that truck tonight.
Are you sure that's a sugar truck ahead of us, Steve?
That's it, all right. Step on it. We'll start closing in.
We're taking a bigger risk than ever, Steve.
Shut up, will you? I guess it's time to sound the siren. Here goes.
He's pulling over.
Stop right behind him. You stay here with the car, Jack. Come on, Sox.
Come on.
Hey, what are you stopping me for? I wasn't... Hey, you ain't cops.
Get out of that truck.
Hey, let go of me.
Hey,
oh.
That did it. You can drive the truck, Sox. We leave him in a ditch with a nice little sign for the cops to follow. That'll keep him busy for a while.
The following morning in Britt Reed's office, his secretary, Lenore Case, was going over the mail.
These in your basket are the most important, Mr. Reed.
Well, thanks, Miss Case. I'll get out this afternoon.
Good morning, Reed. Hi, Casey.
What got you out of bed so early, Axford?
Early, is it? Huh. I was at cops headquarters before you were up, I'll bet you.
Anything new on the hijacking case?
That's what I came to tell you, Reed. I already gave the story to Rewrite.
Well, he brought in a story for a change.
Quiet, Casey. This is no time for kidding.
What's the story?
Well, a guy, a truck driver, was found last night on the pike, in the ditch. He didn't come to till this morning.
Well?
He was stopped on the pike by a car with a siren. He thought it was cops after him.
The same hijackers.
Seems like it.
Sure, but now the cops know who they're looking for.
Really?
Yep. When he was found, there was a seal stuck right on his forehead. 'Twas the seal of none other than the Green Harlot.
Morning following the truck holdup, Mike Axford was telling Britt Reed and Miss Case that the driver was found with the seal of the Green Hornet on his forehead and that he'd been stopped by a car with a siren.
In that case, Michael, it must have been the Hornet and his gang who hijacked that boatload of sugar, too.
Sure, that goes without saying. Believe me, Sarge is raving because that spalpeen pulls that cop gag to get people to stop. He's fit to be tied now that he knows it's the Hornet.
Did the truck driver say whoever stopped him was disguised as the Hornet, Axford?
Yeah, he said the guy wore a mask, all right. There was another one, but the driver didn't get a look at him.
I see. What about the men who were stopped in the boat? Did they say it was the Hornet?
Huh. Come to think of it, they didn't, Reed.
I should think they would have if it had been the Hornet who stopped them.
Well, that's what I think.
Oh, all they said was that two men came aboard and socked him. There was another waiting in the other boat.
But why does Sergeant Burke think the Hornet did that job, too?
Hey, you got something there, Reed. I guess the Hornet heard about the hijacking of the boat and decided that siren was a good idea, so he used it on the last job.
That could be the answer, of course.
I'll have to point out what you said to Sarge, Reed. But by the way he's feeling, he'll probably blame both jobs on the Hornet anyway. He ain't in a good mood at all.
I can understand that.
Yes, so can I.
Well, I'll be getting along. Sarge can question them boatmen again, just to make sure it wasn't the Hornet stopped them.
I'm sure the Green Hornet won't be blamed for both jobs. You can bet on that.
He probably won't.
Who'll give the whole plot to Green Hornet, Tim Dade?
I guess you're right.
I knew you'd agree with me on that. See you later. So long.
After Axford and Miss Case had left his office, Britt Reed reached Cato at the apartment by private telephone and was giving him certain instructions.
You'd better get that out right away, Cato. It's only 10:30 a.m. now, so it ought to get there by late afternoon.
Yes, sir. I get it right out.
Use the special paper. Be careful of fingerprints.
I'll be very careful, Mr. Britt. Do you think it'll do a trick, perhaps?
I can't tell, but I hope it'll start things moving. If it does, we'll be going out tonight.
That's good. I'll be ready. Anything else?
That's all. See you at dinner time.
Yes, sir. I'll be here. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Cato. Late that afternoon at police headquarters.
What's on your mind, Ernie?
Well, here's a special delivery, Sarge. Just says police headquarters on it.
Well, don't stand there staring at it. Give me it.
What do you think it is, Sarge?
How do I know, Ashford? I ain't one of them mind readers.
Read it!
What do you think I'm going to do? Eat it? Shut up a minute. Let's see now. To the cops. I've read the papers. I don't like to be blamed for things I don't do. I have a lead to those hijacking crooks, and maybe after I get through with them, you can have what's left. The Green Hornet.
Glory be. Holy crow, let me see that.
Hey, give me that.
I got to phone the Sentinel.
But that knows
that... Hold your horses, Sarge. I'll be right back. Gunnigan will make a good story out of this.
Blame
for them hold-ups. Says he's got a lead to us. He's going to get to us before the cops do, he says. Lie down. Jack is sleeping in the other room.
Let's go out
in
the bar and talk it over. Come on.
So the hornet's after us. Says he's got a lead to us. I'm going to the cops. I've had enough of this. I don't care what Steve does now.
Sox and Steve sat at a table near the window of the bar.
Listen, Sox, you have to be more careful of what you say when Jack's around. The way you came busting in with that newspaper, yelling about the Green Hornet being after us, that was enough to make that jittery dope run to the cops for protection if he'd heard you.
Oh, I wasn't yelling. I don't guess he heard me anyway.
Well, just be more careful, that's all. I don't want any... Hey... Wait a minute.
Hey, what's the matter? What are you looking at through the Venetian blind, Steve?
Look. Over there, waiting at the streetcar stop.
Hey. That looks like Jack.
It is Jack. That street light shining right on his face. He's waiting for a car that's headed downtown.
But I thought he was back at the place sleeping.
Sox, I bet he heard what you said. Maybe he's not up to what I think he might be. But we'll have to be sure. Come on.
Where are we going? Gonna make him go back to his place?
No. We're gonna get the car and follow that streetcar to the place where he gets off. And we'll tail him. If he's not on the level with us, he'll be mighty sorry.
Meantime, Britt Reed had left his office and had gone to his apartment, where Cato was waiting.
I mailed printed note like you say to do, Mr. Britt.
I know. Axford phoned in and said the police received it.
What do you expect to happen now?
I'm hoping one of those crooks will be frightened enough to seek protection from the police. Of course, I'll want to make sure. Also, they may not be able to get him to squeal on the others. So if we could spot him going into headquarters...
Would then Green Hornet risk getting to Crook to make him tell where others are?
That's the general idea. We'll take the Black Beauty and decide on the way just what we will do. Let's go.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in the bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passageway built within the walls of the apartment itself. This passage led to an adjoining building, which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness. several hours, Britt and Cato waited in a Black Beauty, which was parked in a dark alley, from which they could watch the entrance to police headquarters. There was little traffic and few people on the street.
Well, how do you expect to know if Crook comes, Britt? We've already been here a very long time.
I figured one of the crooks might fear a visit from the Hornet tonight, and would go to the police for protection. It's taking a long chance, but I'm watching for a man who seems nervous and who hesitates about going in.
Well, no one but police go in and out since we're here.
So I noticed. They'd have a shock if they knew the Hornet was watching them.
Would they not think Green Hornet there to park so close to police? Well, look. Someone come around corner. He get off streetcar, perhaps.
Yes. We'll watch him closely.
He's going toward police station.
That's right. He's... Look. He stopped walking.
He seemed like he's going back, maybe.
Wait. Well, there he goes. But he's walking more slowly.
Well, he act peculiar. Keep looking around. You think he man we wait for?
Hard to tell. He's walking by the entrance.
Oh, then he not the one. If he go by...
He stopped again. Now he's turning around and going back. Cato, I think we'll...
Oh, look. Car coming fast. He's on wrong side of street.
On the side that man's on. Cato, start the car, quick. Swing in front of that car and make it pull over to the other side, away from that man.
Shoot at them.
Help! Help!
After them, Cato. They're the men we want. A short time later, inside police headquarters...
You sure had a narrow escape, fella.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I ran out just in time to see the Hornet car leaving.
Yeah, it was the Hornet, all right. The shots came from the other car, like I told you. It was Stephen Socks, the two men who made me pull those jobs with him.
Where are they hiding out? Where can we find them?
They found out I came here and followed. They won't go back to the hideout now. They'll get away. But I don't care. I'd rather be in the pen again than have that Hornet after me.
Well, I can't say that I blame you. Of course, you might get time off for turning state's evidence against those other two, if we ever catch them.
It looks to me like them and the Hornet were after you at the same time.
Well, seeing as how you told us the jobs weren't pulled by the Hornet, you can't blame him for getting after you like he did.
But Steve planned the whole thing. It was Steve who had the idea of putting the blame on the Hornet.
Maybe so, but then...
Something sneezed. That's the Hornet's car outside.
Come on. Watch that guy, somebody.
Okay, sir.
Great day. What's this?
Looks like a couple of bodies.
Let's see. Hey, Sarge. They're dead. They're gassed. By the Hornet, no doubt.
Hey, come on, you guys. Come and help us. Come on.
Come on, get them inside.
Hey, might as well be dead. They're out like a light. Give me a hand.
Sure. Let's go.
Take your feet there, Hal. Put them down.
Who do you think they are, Sarge?
Hey, that's Steve. In socks. The Hornet caught up with him and brought him here.
Hey, that's exactly what happened.
Then you got the whole gang that pulled those hijacking jobs, Sarge.
That's right. And I'm ready to tell all I know. I don't care what Steve does.
Where am I?
Where are you? Take a look around, buddy, and you'll soon be finding out.
Cops. Well, how did we get here?
As if you don't know. You were caught by the Green Hornet and gassed, weren't you? That's who brought you here. And dumped you right on the front step.
He's the guy who said he was smart.
Smart? Oh, him? They don't come too smart for the hand at that, they don't. Believe me, there's one guy who always comes through with the scoop when he lets loose.
Scoop, you say? I thought I saw a clarion reporter busting past the door a minute ago. So if you want to keep your job...
Holy crow! Gangway, everybody! I got a phone to sentinel! The Hornet's done it again!
Popular radio dramas created by George W. Trendle are a copyrighted feature of The Green Hornet, Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used are fictitious.